96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, it is no secret that many of our children are finicky eaters. Typically, what they love to eat, it may not always be good for their growing bodies. But how do you get your kids to eat the healthy stuff, even if they have already gotten off to a bad start? That is our conversation tonight, and that is a large mountain to climb for most parents. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. How have you done it, if you have done it with your children or those that you are responsible for? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And I cannot have this conversation by myself, so we need you to call. And I definitely can't guide it in the way that it needs to go without a few experts. And we have Charlotte Avery here. She is a family strategist. And Tracy McCurder, a nutritionist and author of By Any Greens Necessary and an Ageless Vegan. Did I get that right, Tracy?
You did.
I've got it all there. Thank you, ladies, for being with us. Again, phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tracy, I'm going to start with you. I am a parent. I have a 14-year-old and a soon-to-be 13-year-old. They eat fairly healthy, thanks to their mother. But if I want them to eat healthier, what do I have to do? And I know that's a broad question, but what's the basic things I need to be doing as a parent to help my child eat better?
The number one thing that you need to do is model for your children. The number one thing is to model for your children. So your wife is doing it, which is great. You need to do it too. So if you want your children to eat more vegetables, you have to do it also. Now, there are about 16 tips. I just want to get this out here really quickly on my blog, in prep for this show. I have 16 top tips for getting your kids to eat more vegetables by anygreensnecessary.com. So if I don't get through all of that, me and Charlotte if you want more, go there and get these 16 tips. But that's the number one tip. You have to do it yourself.
Charlotte. Okay, now listen. You know how the old school is. Mm-hmm. Do as I do. No, wait a minute. Do as I say.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not as I do. Tracy is telling me I have to do as I do. Can I just tell my kids, you know, I might be eating a Munch bar over here for breakfast, but you sit down and have some oatmeal, some bananas with that, maybe some berries. So can I realistically do it and just tell them to do it and I eat what I want?
No, sir.
Oh, boy. You're supposed to help me here, Tracy.
No.
For all of us out there who don't eat as well as we should as parents.
So listen, Bramante.
Yes, ma'am.
As a mom of seven who has a PhD in motherhood.
Yes, you do if you have seven.
Okay. I'm telling you, what Tracy spoke to as far as modeling is so very, very important. And the thing is that the modeling has to start so early. Like from infancy and toddlerhood on up, because then it won't be so hard when they're older. They have to see you eating fruits and vegetables when they're younger. And then it makes it that much more easy for them to do it themselves because they see their parents doing it and liking it, too.
So you have to like it. And we can get into that about, you know, what we like and what we don't
sure.
like in terms of the foods. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about eating healthier. It is National Nutrition Month. So how do we get our children to eat healthier foods? Tracy, snacking is a big issue with most kids and even parents. And so when you're talking about a snack, most kids, they want a cookie, right? They want an ice cream cone. That to them is a snack. How can I convince a child that carrots are a snack Or is that not something I should offer them? Does it have to have some kind of sweetness to it, like an apple or banana or grapes?
Well, it's opposed to either or, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is have colorful fruits and vegetables on the counter mm-hmm. all the time.
And you say colorful.
Yeah.
That matters what it looks like.
It matters.
Yes, it does.
So you want a rainbow of colors. So when people think getting their kids to eat healthier, they are automatically thinking about broccoli and Brussels sprouts, which are great.
Mm-hmm.
But focus on colors. So fruits and vegetables in a rainbow of colors. There are hundreds of fruits and vegetables to choose from. But things like carrots, things like celery, any of those things that, you know, you would typically have to dip into.
Mm-hmm.
Studies have shown that if you dip them into peanut butter, if you have peanut butter on the counter and they can just dip, they'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing in many ways, Charlotte, it's about habits.
It is.
Creating a different kind of habit. Statistics are showing 17% of our youth are obese.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, and not only that, but another study shows that 56% of children don't even eat fruit and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
93% of children don't even get their regular daily requirement of fruit and vegetables.
Now, one of the questions here, though, Charlotte, is we know in many ways finances can be an issue, right? Am I right or wrong here? It's expensive to buy fruit and vegetables, may be cheaper to buy the things that aren't as good for us. Is that a fallacy?
No.
Or is there something to that?
It is true. Society has sabotaged the fruit and vegetable industry. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, you know, you don't have to eat everything organic. You can pick and choose what the organics are that you're eating. So, I mean, it can be costly, but it's actually more costly not to eat healthy because your health is your wealth.
But what do you do, Tracy, if you don't have the money to really shop at, say, a place that has good food,
mm-hmm.
good fruits, good vegetables, and you have to get that sort of TV dinner or buy those pot pies or something that you can that doesn't cost as much money, but you just need to feed your kids? I would think that's a big issue when parents can hear us talking
sure.
about eating well,
mm-hmm.
but they're saying, hey, I've just got to put something on the table that I can afford.
Right. And so fresh is always best. Organic is best. But
mm-hmm.
if that's not available, if it's not affordable, if it's not accessible, frozen vegetables are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen vegetables are cheaper. Frozen vegetables are still healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They're very convenient and you can make delicious meals out of them. So you want to go from fresh to frozen. Canned is the last. But if you must do something in a can, then you want to make sure that it's not packed with salt and preservatives. But go to frozen. You know,
or frozen, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about nutrition and how do we help kids to eat healthier. Let's go to the phone lines. Dee is calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Dee.
Hi. I just wanted to say I believe these things really do start in the formative years. If you don't introduce sugar and junk and fast food and stuff to your kids, they won't know what it is. Okay, so if you start them off on a healthy diet, they'll reach for healthy food. I was raised that way, and I still eat healthy. Now I eat, you know, I have a lot of smoothies every now and then, but I do eat mostly fruits and vegetables, and I like what she said about the frozen. If you can't get fresh, frozen is the best, another good option.
All right. Thank you so much, Dee, for your call. And she talked about smoothies, Charlotte, and as a strategist, right, you have to help sort of your kids figure out how they can eat well. Now,
absolutely.
I can tell you my experience is whenever my daughter would make a smoothie,
mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't like was I have to then go get the blender out underneath the cabinet. And then after she makes it, you got to clean the thing and take it apart. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I feel like it takes more work, even though I feel better
mm-hmm.
that she's having it. My son is having it. I'm having it. So help me to strategize how to get that block out as a parent to help them and maybe even help myself. Because when you help your kids, you're helping yourself, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. So, you know, in my house, I have a juicer and I have a Nutribullet on my countertop. And I love it because it's very easy to clean. It's not as difficult to clean. And it's not as big as, you know, big to clean as a blender or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I love smoothies. My kids love smoothies because I believe that one way you can get kids to get in their fruit and vegetables is to play hide and go seek with their vegetables. And so I do that. I will put spinach and kale in a smoothie for them, but I have it mixed in there with some strawberries and peaches and, you know, a splash of, you know, orange juice or apple juice or whatever, and put some Greek yogurt in there. And then they practically don't even know that it's there.
Right. So they don't see it. All they see is the nice, pretty thing put together.
Yes, absolutely. And then the same thing with spaghetti. Like when I make spaghetti for my children, I will grab a box of frozen spinach and I will throw it in the spaghetti sauce.
You can also puree the vegetables.
That's so right.
And you can also puree the vegetables and mix it in with the sauce so that it enhances the flavor.
That's right.
But they don't necessarily see that the vegetable is in there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too is you can make muffins. Mm-hmm. And you can make blueberry muffins and you can hide spinach in there too.
Trickery.
That's right.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go right back to the phone lines real quick. Kim calling from New Carrollton. Go right ahead, Kim.
I wanted to know about when you're sending your children away to college. I have a senior, and she eats pretty healthy, salads for lunch usually. Yes, I'm one of those strange parents that get up and make her lunch every day.
Wow.
So how do I make sure she gets that when she gets to college, other than me going to the college every day?
That's a really, really great question. Because we worry about them leaving, right? And
right.
A lot of times we're not thinking, we want them to be safe. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we may forget about now they're out there on their own and they're going to be eating on their own. We got about a minute before we go to break, but take your time with this because I think we want to sort of continue this topic. But Tracy, mm-hmm. So what does Kim do?
So Kim has to hope that she has instilled healthy habits, and it sounds like she has in terms of, you know, fixing her salads all the time on a regular basis. That's the first thing, is to make sure that she understands why it's important to eat vegetables. Now, typically, freshmen will, first-year students will just kind of go off and eat whatever they want, and parents should understand that that may happen, and then they kind of balance out the second year.
And we've heard about that freshman 15.
Yeah.
And so I want to continue that conversation. Kim, you just hit a very, very important topic. So we're going to continue that. Jay, if you're on the line, stay right there. Diana, you do the same thing because the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. We are talking nutrition for your children. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Sirius XM channel 141. Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, it is National Nutrition Month. So how do you get your kids to eat healthy and like it? WHUR, we are continuing our commitment to helping you eat to live. This is Foodie Friday, and we're talking about good foods, foods that are good for you. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Are you having trouble getting your kids to eat more healthy? Do you eat healthy? If not, why not? Help us with some of the tips you may have or some of the questions you may have. Joining us tonight is Charlotte Avery. She's a family strategist, and Tracy McCurter, nutritionist and author of By Any Greens Necessary. And she is also an ageless, and we do mean ageless, vegan. Again, we want to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tracy, I want to go back to the question Kim brought up right before we bumped over to Sirius XM channel 141, and her daughter is going off to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if folks don't know this, I'm in Charlotte, rather.
Yeah.
Charlotte has seven children. And ranging in ages from 14.
14 to 4.
14 to 4.
No twins.
She looks like she's 18.
Yes.
So you're
going
to have to prepare for this.
Yes.
And as I said, you know, when I was in college, folks talked all the time about the freshman 15. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. it was gender biased. You know, they usually were talking about young girls putting on 15 pounds. But that's a reality. Yes, going away to college and trying to eat well. You don't have you don't have a whole lot of money. Most of us in college, and again, you're just trying to eat to live instead of living to eat, or vice versa. Did I have that wrong? I think I've got it backwards.
So I think when it comes to college now, so I know I'm in the midst of Howard University, but I went to Hampton University. And when I was in school and we were in the CAF and things like that, one thing that I could appreciate probably my sophomore year is the fact that they always had a salad bar. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a salad bar there where there is all kinds of fruit and vegetables and cottage cheese and, you know, peanut butter and things like that. And so, I mean, there are the options of eating healthy. It's just a choice that you really have to make.
And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be about expense. Look at it as I don't have the money. It's in many ways choices, Tracy.
Yes, it's definitely true. And I agree with Charlotte in terms of a lot of it depends on what's available on your campus.
Right.
And these days, you know, wasn't it Hampton that the students walked out or they were just about the cafeteria?
Recently.
Very recently. And but it's good because they should do that and they should protest for healthier options.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the power that students have, especially in this day and age.
Absolutely.
Where there's much more awareness about plant-based food. So if it's not there,
absolutely,
make sure that they get it there. And as parents, you can inquire about that at the school that your child is going to attend.
That's right.
So you do have the power of choice in the food that you choose and also to make sure that they give you those options.
Absolutely. Because those options, even on college campuses, it shouldn't just be the better options shouldn't just be for athletes.
Right.
I mean, and I know that for a fact because when I went to Hampton, I was an athletic trainer. And so I got to eat in the same CAF as the football players and the basketball players and things like that. And there was a difference in the quality of the food.
Mm. Wow. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. That sounds like a different show, Charlotte. Let's go back to the phone lines. Diana calling from College Park. Go right ahead, Diana.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Oh my goodness. When I was younger, I'll be 50 in 2 months, but I had absolutely horrible eating habits as a child to the point where when I grew up, I became like morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
However, I grew up in a Caribbean household in Cuban and Dominican where everything had rice with it.
Mm-hmm.
So without your parents or without, you know, the elders getting upset because you're not eating twice, how do you gauge how people eat with regards to, you know, black beans, rice, red beans and rice and things like that with, you know, the traditional foods of you know, of our parents?
Good question.
That's a
Diana.
Really good question.
Good question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Following Diana's footsteps. We want to hear from you, your questions or concerns about helping children eat well, or if you come from a family eating a certain way, how do you sort of change those dynamics? Either one of you want to take Diana's question either.
So let me, Diana, let me just say, we live in a world now where you have so many rice substitutes. I mean, cauliflower rice is available, and cauliflower actually takes on whatever you put with it. And so you can use cauliflower rice as a substitute for rice. And then there's things like couscous and, you know, there's so many other things that I know Tracy can speak about, too. But, I mean, you can still eat beans and rice per se, but it won't be beans and rice. It will be beans and cauliflower rice.
Okay, Tracy.
Yeah, beans and...
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Tracy.
Yes.
Is Charlotte telling us that rice is bad for us? Do I have to
white now rice.
White rice.
White rice.
So brown rice. You didn't say that, Charlotte.
Brown
you just
rice
said
is
rice.
Good.
Brown rice, red rice, black rice, purple rice.
Why is white rice not good for
because
us?
Because it's not. It doesn't have a color. The health is in the color. I say the health is in the hue. You want your foods to be colorful.
And so if it's white, what is happening to it?
It's been refined, quote unquote. That's mm-hmm. the term for it. It's been processed. It mm-hmm. starts out tan, and they process it to make it white. So mm-hmm. they remove nutrients from it.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So it's brown rice, red rice, purple rice, black rice, wild rice mm-hmm. is colorful rice. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. So she can still have rice, mm-hmm. but I also wanted to piggyback on what Charlotte was saying. You have a wonderful head start because Cuban and Dominican food is highly plant-based. Mm. You are eating beans and rice already and other types of dishes that are plant-based. So celebrate that. The seasonings that you're using, the herbs and the spices are already plant-based, which is healthier, right? The oils are oils. They're plant-based. Mm-hmm. So for you, it's just making the tweaks that Charlotte has talked about. You can substitute the colorful rice for the white rice. You can use quinoa. You can use bulgur. You can use millet, amaranth. There's so many different types of whole grains out there. So stay with your cultural diet and just kind of swap out some ingredients.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You are getting some expert advice tonight on how to eat better, mostly for children, but all of us can use this advice. 202-319-7810. It is National Nutrition Month. And again, we're talking about how to help your children eat better. This is also part of WHUR's continued commitment to helping you eat to live. So we're calling this Foodie Friday, and we all love to eat. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jay is calling from Waldorf. Go right ahead, Jay.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Okay, so I have a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old who loves fruits and vegetables.
That's good.
Great.
They love it.
How did you do that, Jay?
Well, when they were little, I introduced them to green, leafy foods early on, mm-hmm. all types of fruits, everything that I can think of. Everything that I ate, I introduced it to them and explained to them, even when they could not talk, mm-hmm. what it was and that it was healthy.
Mm.
So I continued to educate them as they got older, and they choose to eat healthy without me having to tell them.
Wonderful.
Right. So this is what the ladies are telling me.
It goes back to modeling, like we said.
It beating me with those bag of nickels, telling me I have got to model. So Jay is the perfect model.
Yes, that's perfect.
Well, I'm not perfect.
Well,
but I try my best.
Well, relative. If I just put myself up against you and I'm sort of throwing myself.
We're giving you all kinds of accolades. All kinds of accolades.
Yes. And
may I suggest one technique that I use mm-hmm. for fruits? I actually didn't give them juice up until I didn't give them juice. Maybe at a birthday party they received juice when they were like 4 for the first time. But I put grapes inside of water and called it grape juice. Mm. I put strawberries inside of water and called it strawberry juice.
I love that.
So to them, those were juices. Blueberries inside of water.
Mm-hmm.
So they love water. They love fruits. So they got everything, and they were happy. Like, they
I
were
love
satisfied
that. I love that.
Drinking mm-hmm. fruit and water.
And Jay, do they ever ask for soda or a Twinkie or Chip Ahoy's?
No. I grabbed one soda because sometimes we like to drink sodas once in a blue moon, and I barely do. And they would get on me, so I cannot buy soda.
Hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And
they get on me.
Wow. Thank you so much for your call, Jay. Tracy, do you have children?
I do not. I have 3 nieces.
You have 3 nieces. And mm-hmm. so we know that Charlotte has 7.
Mm-hmm.
And you all obviously model for your nieces and your children.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever is a broad word, but is there ever any pushback to go, why do we have to be the family, or why do we have to be the ones that have to eat well all the time? Why can't we just splurge sometimes?
So I never get pushback from my kids, but I think the reason why is because, I mean, I didn't give them a choice of whether or not they were going to eat fruits and vegetables. I modeled it for them. And not only that, but I, you know, when I was feeding them when they were just babies, I mean, while I was nursing them, and I nursed all of my children, but I was eating fruits and vegetables mm. during the process. And there's a study that shows that women who nurse their children and they're eating fruits and vegetables while they're nursing their kids, when they get older, their palate is more susceptible to fruit and vegetables.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tracy, you are a vegan. Eating healthier, does that necessarily equate to becoming a vegan?
Of course. No.
I walked right into
That's
that one.
That's my life.
I put that one right down Broad Street.
Well, plant-based foods, you know, that's what that means, as opposed to animal-based foods. They are the healthiest foods we know to eat. And so what I do is help people get there wherever they are. So, you know, you'd start wherever you are. But, you know, wherever you are on the spectrum, you just keep kind of keep moving towards that. And so absolutely, that's the goal, you know, and it's not as hard as people think. And I will say this, too. I hated vegetables growing up. My mother, and my mother gave us, you know, she cooked from scratch. We didn't have, we had dessert once a week. We did not have a cookie jar. We never had soda. We had skim milk. We had whole wheat bread. I hated it. Vegetables every night. I protested. I hated it. And now I've been a vegan for 30 years. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, starting when I was a sophomore in college.
And so is that when you made the term?
Yeah.
Because you hated it. And when did you recognize either you like it or it's good for me, or was it both?
No, it was. I mean, I had to eat it. To Charlotte's point, there I had to still
eat
it. But
once you didn't have to.
So my freshman year, I gained 25 pounds because I could eat whatever I wanted. And in my sophomore year, Dick Gregory came to campus and talked about how unhealthfully black folks eat and why we should become vegetarian. And that is what changed me. So he saved my life, is what I say. He intervened, because who knows where I would be right now, right?
Wow.
But my mother planted the seed. You know, I still ate healthfully at home, although I didn't like it. I didn't have a choice, right? So I say that to say, for parents, do all that you can, of course, and Charlotte is a perfect example of that. But, you know, even if your kids are balking at this stage, continue to do it. You're planting a seed that they, so so they will be able to come back to it. You have a foundation there.
Now, we talk about what parents can do and those who are in charge of children, but we also know out there, there are advertisers, there's the consumer market, and there's a fast food restaurant or two or three fast food restaurants on every corner, right? That is a great temptation, because you've got salt, right? You've got sugar, all of the things that will draw us in. Let's talk a little bit about how to sort of combat that, and whether or not we see, is there a trend with these fast food restaurants of trying to be healthier, or is most of it a facade? Most of what's in fast food restaurants is no good for your children.
So I think that the fast food market, I think their thing is they're trying to appeal to everybody. They're trying to appeal to the person who's eating burgers and chicken sandwiches and fries. But they also know that there's a market out there for healthy eaters. And so that's just another monetary benefit in having, you know, salads and all of these different wonderful things. But I got to tell you this. So when before we lived where we live now, there was a McDonald's on just right by our house. And we used to go to McDonald's like once a week. Like Friday was like, you know, McDonald's night, right? And so one time my husband and I, we were like, man, we're just going to stop eating McDonald's, right? And we did. And we, I mean, we just went cold turkey, because I'm like the cold turkey mom. And we just went cold turkey and didn't go to McDonald's. But then I think after 3 months, the kids wanted to go to McDonald's. So we were like, okay, we're going to take you to McDonald's. We went to McDonald's. They got chicken nuggets. They got all kinds of stuff. And then they got sick.
Because
their bodies were not used to that food anymore. And so now they're like, we're not going to McDonald's. You know, I mean, they're not even having it.
But do they want to go somewhere? Do they want to go to Popeyes? Do they want to go to KFC?
They like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I'm a Chick-fil-A person. Somehow I've got to buy stock in Chick-fil-A. You know, this conversation about Chick-fil-A, but you can send us a check for that free advertising. We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about nutrition for children. This is National Nutrition Month. Tracy McCurter, a nutritionist and author of By Any Greens Necessary, and she's an ageless vegan along with her mother. And Charlotte Avery, she's a family strategist. They're here to pushed along this conversation in the most productive way. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick time out. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Listen, it is no secret that most of our children, they are finicky eaters. That's why they're children. Typically, what they love to eat might not be the best thing for them to eat. So how do we change their mindset? How do we get them, even as parents, to eat what we know is healthy for them? That's what we're talking about tonight. It's all part of National Nutrition Month. It's all part of WHUR's efforts and our commitment to help you eat to live. We call this Foodie Friday, and here to talk about food is Charlotte Avery. She's a family strategist, and Tracy McCurter. She's a nutritionist and author of By Any Greens Necessary, and she's also an ageless vegan. We know a lot of you folks are out there listening may want to know how to get in touch with Charlotte or Tracy or some of the advice that they're giving. Charlotte, give our listeners some information maybe on some places they can go or how they can get in touch with you.
Thank you. So if you email me at info@beingcharlotteavery.com, that's info@beingcharlotteavery.com, and just in your email in the subject line put healthy eating for children, I will send you back a product that will have some tips and a few recipes that will guide you in helping your children to eat healthy.
Tracy, do you have any sites or information that they can go to?
Yes. My website, byanygreensnecessary.com. If you go to the blog page, I have a blog that I posted for this show today called 16 Top Tips to Help Kids Eat More Veggies.
All right. 16 Top Tips to Help Kids Eat More Veggies. Let's talk a little bit about, if we can, ethnicity, ethnic groups. And are there different challenges for different ethnic groups? And let's just pick out, you know, African Americans. Do we have sort of bigger hurdles to go over to try to eat healthier based on traditions, based on heritage, based on history, things that we have eaten that aren't maybe the best things that we tend to eat, but they're comfort foods mm-hmm. and they're foods of reminiscing and memories and all of that stuff that gets tied into that?
Right. It's an excellent point. So the first thing is that non-healthy food companies like McDonald's and Coca-Cola, these types of Burger King, all of them, they target African Americans. Candies.
Why, Tracy?
They target African Americans because they're racist. Because they can. Just like the cigarette companies did. They target low-income people who do not have access to healthy resources in their communities. Mm. So they know that their food is cheaper. Mm-hmm. It's processed. They get federal subsidies to keep it cheaper. And so they're marketing to people who can't afford healthier food, the bottom line. And that's usually people of color. And so we are targeted with ads and billboards in our communities, TV shows for black, that TV shows that feature black children and black families have more fast food ads, more junk food ads, more processed food ads, than those for any other demographic. So that's the first thing we have to understand. We are being targeted.
And can I just piggyback right there? Mm-hmm. What Tracy is saying is so very true, and it's research based.
Yeah.
So she's not just pulling these statistics out of the blue, you know, out of the air. I mean, it is research based. And not only that, but you can go into these communities and you can look at their street corners and what's around them and things like that. And you'll see the difference between predominantly Caucasian neighborhoods versus African American neighborhoods and even the types of grocery stores.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That are there mm-hmm. and the quality of food that are in these grocery stores, because I can go to a Giant in my neighborhood and there's some, you know, different types of food, but I can go to another Giant in a more African-American neighborhood and the quality of the food is different and everything. The types of food, I may have to go to a different store to get something else because that's healthy, because the store that is in the African-American neighborhood does not have that. Because everything is set up for demographics.
Mm-hmm. And I know this was an issue that was that came up in Southeast D.C. I can't remember which store it was, but I know Councilman Vincent Gray had gotten a lot of complaints about the grocery store and the quality of food that was there. And many felt like because it was in a, you know, a less affluent neighborhood, they weren't getting the same kinds of foods that were available in maybe other parts of the more affluent parts of the city. Tracy, I know that preparation. Right. The big P word is important to you in terms of helping our kids eat healthier, helping our families eat healthier. Talk a little bit about that.
So
that's Charlotte speaking.
Yes, that's me.
I was wondering why Charlotte was sort of pausing and looking at me like, I am not Tracy. Sorry,
Charlotte. So, you know, I always say preparation can prevent hesitation. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes when we think of fruits and vegetables and giving them to kids, you know, we think of raw fruits and vegetables. But I mean, you can steam fruits and vegetables. I mean, vegetables. You can saute them. You can, like, one thing that you can do is allow your children, especially if you're going to do a lifestyle change, allow your children to come into the kitchen with you. I know that some parents are like, I don't want you in the kitchen because I can just get it done quicker myself.
Right.
But my thing is, I'd love for my children to come into the kitchen with me. And then we get to make fruit and vegetable kebabs. We get to make, get like little small miniature cookie cutters and cut out vegetables in different shapes and things of that nature. You know, you can grill vegetables. And this is the thing too, is that what you'll find is that if you saute vegetables or you grill them, it actually, because there's actually sugar in everything, but when you saute them or you grill them, it brings out the natural sugar of the vegetable. And not only that, so I have a daughter who likes carrots, but she does not like raw carrots, but she will eat them steamed or sauteed.
Now, what about your other six kids? How do you handle that if you've got a big family like that? One wants them steamed or sauteed. Somebody may want them raw. You know, I mean, this
well,
is
usually
this is
like
real.
in my family, if we're going to have carrots, we're all going to have steamed carrots.
Okay.
Now, I do have some baby carrots that are raw because I do have one child who loves to dip her vegetables in ranch dressing or blue cheese or what have you. But, you know, we just make those options available right then. And my kids, I mean, they just don't have an option. Like, we have rules. Like, you know, when their plate is filled for dinner, like in our house, they have to eat their vegetables first.
Wow.
It's just not an option.
You like to mix and match. I mean, I'm an eater. I eat a little of this and then I eat a little of that.
I'm down with that. I'm okay with that as long as you don't eat all of your sweet potatoes first.
I see.
You still have to eat your green beans.
But you have them eat it first to make sure that they eat it and that they don't get filled up on other stuff.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, too, is that, you know, I believe that if you're going to start introducing vegetables and things like that and new things for your kids, I think you give them, you kind of have to, you don't have to fight with your kids because I believe in picking and choosing your battles.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So my thing is you can be one and done. And what I mean by that is you have to eat at least one bite.
That's it?
You have to eat at least one bite, chew it up, swallow it, and it's gone. Because statistics show that when you're introducing new foods, new vegetables and things like that, they have to at least see it and touch it and eat it at least 10 times.
Now, she brings up a good point, Tracy.
Many excellent points. Yes, I would love to amen.
Yeah, when she talks about introducing, you know, new foods, we heard Kim, and again, I thought her question was so good about kids going to college. But what about these kids who are now teenagers?
Right.
Right? And some of these schools, now we know that they're sort of peeling back on having sodas in the school, but the lunches still aren't the best thing. Some kids can go off campus and grab their lunch. So how do you wheel in a 16-year-old who doesn't want to hear about you telling her now we're going to take a turn and start eating healthier?
Well, I think that you have to respect the fact that children at that age have palates, right? We know that a lot of them will like junk food, but I think probably Charlotte's kids will have a much broader palate because she introduced them to these fruits and vegetables at such a young age. She enforces a strong word, but you know, she just makes sure that they eat their different fruits and vegetables every day. So you know that coming home, they're going to have that for dinner, right? And you know what they're going to have for breakfast. And, you have introduced them to a broad enough palate that they know if they like asparagus, they know if they like cauliflower, they know. So, you know, we really can't make a blanket statement that kids hate all vegetables.
Right.
Right. Doing it the way that Charlotte is doing it, it's all right if they like broccoli for 5 years and then the next year they don't.
All right. If you don't like broccoli 1 year and like it the next, it's all right.
Choose something else.
Tell folks again how they can get in touch with you, or if they want any information, anything that you want to put out there so folks can find you.
You can connect with me on my website at beingcharlotteavery.com, on Instagram and Facebook at beingcharlotteavery, and on Twitter at beingcharlotte.
And Tracy, how can folks get your book, and how can they find more about you, your book By Any Greens Necessary?
By Any Greens Necessary is available everywhere, and my new book, Ageless Vegan, will be out in June everywhere, and my website and other social media, By Any Greens Necessary.
Great conversation. I feel motivated.
Good.
To help myself and therefore help my children. Charlotte Avery, thank you so much for being with us. Tracy McCurder, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
It's a great conversation. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 16th.